The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Sarah Willingham, CEO of Nightcap. NGHT is ticker. Sarah, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, but just been reading through your Q3 update, going very well, a lot of growth there. We'll get into that in a bit, and also what's to come and generally your expectations, because the business is still quite young. But before we do that, for people maybe not familiar with Nightcap, can you explain what it's all about, please, Sarah?
Yes, of course. Nightcap, we came up with the idea of Nightcap. It's going to be 2 years ago at the end of this summer, before a vaccine had come out. It was basically off the back of the Eat Out to Help Out. The initiative from the government, which encouraged people to go back out again in August after the first lockdown. I don't know if you remember it,
yeah. But
the demand was so crazy. You know, you couldn't get into anywhere. Everywhere was fully booked. And everybody started to enjoy this sort of table seating going out. And actually, as time progressed, it became very obvious that there were a number of really significant changes that made us think, actually, this is an incredible time to set up something like Nightcap, which both Michael and I had done similar structures before on AIM about 15 years ago. Mm. So the first one was the demand. There was no doubt there was going to be pent-up demand in the hospitality industry. You know, we are naturally pack animals, but we've been locked up for a couple of years, and actually people want to go out, they want to be together, and they want to socialise. That was important. Mm-hmm. The second thing was the property landscape that we'd seen. You know, most people just sort of dug their heels in hospitality and retail and said, I can't pay my rent. I'm going to wait till we get some help here. And actually, we saw that relationship between landlord and tenant shift in a way that I've not seen in my 25 years in hospitality. I've never seen it like this before. Mm-hmm. And we became aware that actually there was going to be a lot more property available on much better terms, mm-hmm. Not just in terms of the long-term lease terms, but actually there wouldn't be premiums. You'd be getting much more attractive rent-free periods and actually much more availability because of the decrease in competition of people that were going to be able to grow. And the third thing was the demand was there, right? So there would be a lot of hospitality businesses that whose P&L was really strong, mm-hmm. but actually their balance sheet would have been shot to bits as a result of having to take on this heavy debt, the C-bills. And even if you're private equity backed, which a lot of hospitality groups are, the private equity were digging their heels in and still are actually and saying, no, until some of this debt's paid down, I'm not going to give you the money to grow. Likewise, those that are backed by the banks, and actually even if they've got nice, attractive senior debt, still the banks effectively are saying, no, you're too leveraged. Until you bring that down within the parameters that we normally work within, we're not going to give you any more money to grow. So putting all of those things together, we thought there's going to be businesses available where founders' equity is under the water and they're going to want to be incentivized and join a group that is well capitalized. Mm-hmm. We thought there's going to be a lot of property available. And this is a time to get back into equity markets. And hence the fact that we came up with the idea of Nightcap, which is effectively a group structure. We floated it just over a year ago, successfully, January 2021. So we're like 14, 15 months old now. And it was a group structure. And during the course, long story short, but during the course of the last 12 months, we bought three phenomenal businesses. We've bought the London Cocktail Club, the Cocktail Club as it's known outside of London. Great business. We bought them when there was 10. We now have 15, and we have double digits in pipeline and in advanced legals to open this year. We bought the Adventure Bar Group, which consists of a number of brands, and we're honed in on Tonight Josephine and Blame Gloria. Fantastic model. Their sort of, I guess, USP, their superpower is brunches and events, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Great business, great people. And the third one that we bought at the end of last year was Barrio Group. And that was very much off the back of the demand that we were seeing for margaritas and tacos, certainly margaritas. Tequila's become the new buzzword in every bar. Everybody wants to drink tequila. And we bought a group of five, and we're are, it's an incredible business, huge legs for outside of London. Really good vibe when you go into these bars. I love them. They're all late night party bars. And we're also rolling Barrio out this year. And I guess the final thing was the sort of shift in that millennial market, who have been very, very resilient, actually, to COVID, and also continue to be resilient in the squeeze that we're seeing in our disposable income. They still want to go out, and there's a bit of a lipstick effect, I think, on a cocktail. But there's a real shift in the way that they are going out now. You know, back in my day, I'm in my late 40s, and back in my day, we used to go to sticky floor dance clubs, dance nightclubs, and sticky floor dance floors, where we used to queue up outside, pay an entrance fee, and at best get a warm bottle of cider or a warm gin and tonic. And nowadays, people want to go to a late night bar. They want to start off having a drink and a conversation, but by the end of it, they want the late license. They want to be dancing on the bar. They want the music turned up, and they want to, you know, remember that they had a great night, and partway through the night think, did we move on to a nightclub, or did we stay in that same bar? And that's very much a market that's what we're offering, and we currently have 34 sites either open or under construction.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And it seems to be going quite well. I mean, just reading through your Q3 trading update released on the 29th of April, growing very well. In fact, take us through some of the figures, if you could, Sarah, there.
Yeah, I mean, our third quarter for 2022 financial year was, well, it was great, but actually no different than previous quarters. We are seeing across the group nearly 30% like-for-like increase compared to the same period in 2019. We compare it to 2019 because it's difficult to compare to 2020, because obviously we were closed, and that anybody that comes out with numbers comparing to 2020, they're not real like-for-likes. But yeah, to see nearly 30% like-for-like increase is fantastic. We had 25 million for year to date in 2000 net unaudited group net sales, which was 48.6% net sales increase against the same period 2019. But that's because we'd opened sites. So we've started, what's starting to come through now is, you know, when we did the original float, it was effectively an accelerated takeover of the London Cocktail Club in January. So that's the first business we had. We didn't acquire Adventure Bar Group until May. So this time last year, we were completing on the deal with Adventure Bar Group. So the sites that we found in that period, in the, you know, a year ago from now, are all the ones that are coming through. And Exeter's opened extremely successfully. Just Cardiff's opened extremely successfully again a month ago. Birmingham is coming up. Bristol, we opened at the end of last year. Very, very well. Mansion House in London also opened very, very well at the end of last year. Reading opened very well at the end of last year. So that's one of the reasons why we're seeing such significant growth. But actually, the like-for-likes, you know, at nearly 30% is pretty incredible. And as at 3rd of April, we still had 7.6 million cash in the bank.
Yeah. And, you know, is this exceeding expectations? And also looking forward there, what's your thoughts about this, you know, cost of living squeeze? Do you think that'll affect the business in any way?
Yeah, so I think, firstly, to answer the question, is it exceeding expectations? I mean, we knew when we floated the business that we were very, very lucky with our timing. You know, we were the first to really do this. Mm-hmm. And since then, other people have tried and failed because the markets are pretty much closed to IPOs now. So we were very lucky when we got to the market, and we raised a lot of cash this time last year, which is why our balance sheet is so strong. And of course, the business is very, very cash generative. So actually, we're not, you know, we fuel a lot of our openings ourselves because of the cash that the businesses generate. I think we'd always hoped everything that I just said about why we set up Nightcap, you know, we didn't have a crystal ball. It's what we'd hoped the landscape looked like. It's even better than I had anticipated. And I think what I hadn't factored in actually was the power of putting together a very strong, empowered, frankly, brilliant team around me and within the businesses that would actually not just, you know, we would not just have the benefits of the macro environment, which we've really benefited from at Nightcap, but also the fact that, frankly, the businesses are just a lot better run. People are motivated. We have the cash to be able to grow. We're able to retain staff in a way we've never been able to do. These businesses have never been able to do before, because we've got so many openings that people can see promotion and growth very, very quickly in front of them. Yeah. And then to your second question, you know, do I think that the cost of living is going to impact us? I think it will impact other businesses in hospitality a lot more than it will impact ours. And that's because of our target market and the type of offer that we have. I think people, you know, the people who where your night out is more of a treat, it's more of a spend, food related, and attracting an older customer, I think they will feel a lot more of a squeeze than we will. I think we're very lucky that we've remained extremely focused in the fact that all of our bars target very much that late Gen Z, early millennial crowd that have got the more disposable income. A lot of them still live at home with their parents, so they're not going to feel the immediate squeeze of certainly increase in utilities. And I think a lot of them not yet homeowners. And there's this need to want to go out, actually. We talk about a lot, this lipstick effect, you know, when there's an economic downturn, people still, people spend more money on buying a nice lipstick because it makes them feel good. And I think that's very much the same with cocktails. And across all of our businesses, we have, you know, either great brunches, which are a great deal, you know, that you get a lot for your money. They're very good value. And we also have happy hours. So, you know, people can still come out and have a great time without them worrying about it having a huge impact on their cash flow by the end of the month.
Yeah. And generally, I don't know what your experience is. I think generally people still want, like you say, still want to have that treat. And, you know, I'm not talking about every day, but, you know, maybe once a week, once a couple of weeks. But that people still think, what's the point of living if you can't go out and treat yourself? I mean, I understand a lot of people will be affected, but people with disposable income, I think, still want that treat, don't they?
For sure. I think, and, you know, back to that point that we talked about earlier, you know, we're pack animals, right? Like we need to socialize. We want to see our friends. It makes us feel good. It balances out our crazy weeks. You know, if you're busy at work and you feel that, you know, you don't have enough time for yourself, that's your treat. That's how you manage to stay sane, I think, is by making sure that you spend some time going out, having a few drinks with your friends, relaxing, laughing.
Yeah.
You know, enjoying the environment that you're in. And one of the things that we've certainly seen a shift for in hospitality, actually, is this: people want to be sort of slightly entertained. And I think, you know, that's something that we're really finding in our bars, is that people are coming in and they want to know that the music's going to be right, playlist is perfect. If they want a brunch, they love the drag show on a Saturday across our bars, or a Mamma Mia brunch. You know, we've really seen a huge, huge increase in demand for things like that across the bars, and we're just glad that we're in a position to be able to react to it and give the customers what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And final question for, I asked for three reasons why someone should hit that button, add you to the watch list. Where are you now venues-wise? How many have you got, and what's the pipeline, Sarah?
Yeah, so we've got about 20 at the moment, just over 20 in advanced legals or, you know, advanced negotiations or already in legals. So we can really see the pipeline, certainly for the next 12 months, although we keep filling that hopper, more and more keeps going in, because we definitely think that there's a real window And there has been that we've already taken serious advantage of, but there is a real window within the property market where, you know, you're not paying premiums, you're still getting very attractive rents, especially outside of London, actually. And I think I think that will continue for some time, but we need to make sure that we're in a position to be able to be able to take advantage of that. And then at the moment we have 34, well, we have 29 open, but 34 or in total, if you count the ones that we have under construction.
Yeah, okay, excellent stuff. All right, well, Sarah, on Vox Markets today on the front page, there's 10 companies that are most followed. That changes all the time. To get on that list, people have to hit the follow buttons on your page. So if you could, give us three quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button on Nightcap and add you to their watch list, please.
Oh, good question. Well, firstly, we have lots of news, so you won't be bored if you hit that follow button. We will be regularly updating because we're always opening. There's always exciting things happening. So I think, firstly, great news. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you know, the share price is very low at the moment compared to what it has been. And that's very much a macro situation. So I think, you know, it's we're still down there in the sort of nano cap, with a very good upwards only an upwards trajectory. So I think it's a good, very, very good stock to follow because we move, you know, things happen within the group. And I think finally, what's the good one? Well, obviously I would say, I think it's an excellent investment. So you should, you know, you should hit the follow button. Certainly if you're an investor, that goes without saying, but actually we're a really fun business. It's what's lovely about Nightcap is that as an investor, not only can you see regular updates, you can see great growth, you can see the numbers are, you know, our return on investment is 75% minimum every single site that we have ever opened. We continue to see that trend. Our businesses are hitting maturity within 2 to 3 months at the moment because of the demand, as opposed to 18 months, 2 years. So it's a fun, good, interesting business. So hit follow and we won't disappoint you.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose it's one of the things where, you know, an investor can actually go out and sample the product and enjoy it, you know.
So yeah, exactly. It's tangible. If you know, it's a fun investment to have. I mean, I absolutely love it. I'm really, really enjoying it. Having said I would never set up another business, yeah. I'm so glad we did this one. And yeah, I'm loving it. And it is because not only is you know, the return to shareholders good, not only is the value creation good, it's actually a really fun business. Like, I love the people and I love the bars.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent stuff. Sarah, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Love to. Thanks a lot.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.